Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.
Anybody have more beads? Yes? Who had obstacles? Anybody wish to share what some of your obstacles were? I could tell you what one of my obstacles were. I need some water. I think others should actually, yes. I think somebody, a couple of devotees should try to render some service to the Vaishnavas. And is there enough water available that we can, at least that everybody can have access to it? Yes.
Also, there's
devotees
that don't have beads.
Really? Uh-huh. Who doesn't have beads? Uh-huh. Do you know how to use beads? He forgot his beads, or he forgot how to use beads? No, but he knows how to use them? Yes? Okay, we can get some beads. Yes. Well, before questions, I just want to discuss about some of the impediments. Because we're going to have to try to deal with those impediments when we all chant individually. And there are things that we can try to do to overcome impediments, obstacles. So who can wishes to share some of the one impediment that they had during that round? Yes, Chaturmayi.
Maharaj, I was starting to think about all the things I could do when I was
ten. Uh-huh. Yes.
But the first thing when you chant in a group like this, the sound is so overpowering. It greatly brings you back.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Thinking of all the things you have to do at home. Yeah, that's what I was speaking about before, that we get caught up in our obligations so much to the point that we feel that unless I can get everything set in order, I can't chant. But nothing's ever set in order. Yeah. And sometimes the tendency is there, if I can make my mind peaceful, then I can chant. But actually chanting is supposed to be the shelter. It's supposed to bring about that peaceful state when one realizes that I'll never be able to work everything out perfectly on the subsidiary platform of all the things I have to do. Because even when it's done, there's going to be more that needs to be done, because they're never ending. And whatever duties that I fulfill, there's going to be something else that needs to be done afterwards. And until we have that realization, then it's going to be very difficult to really wholeheartedly take shelter in the holy name, because the mind is always going, that tendency is to think about things we have to do. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that we have to become free from distractions. This is one of the things. He says three things are required for chanting. He said first it's determination. Second is we have to free ourselves from distractions. So distractions are both external distractions and internal distractions, of which we can speak about some of the internal distractions. He said the third is that we should try to associate, or we should try to chant with devotees who can chant more attentively than we can. These three things, he says, are very essential ingredients for making progress in chanting Hare Krishna. So chanting free from distractions, it means that we should also try to chant in a place that doesn't create remembrance of all the things we have to do. Sometimes devotees will chant in front of the computer. Or sometimes they'll chant in worse places than that, you know, in front of the television, or with their right hand and a bead bag in the left hand on a Newsweek magazine, or sometimes they'll just chant in the room where they do their work. As soon as they open their eyes and they see all the things that immediately stimulates, like, well, I have to do that. I have to do that. I forgot to put this on this list. I forgot to do that. And then what we do is, instead of taking shelter and chanting Hare Krishna, we're making a list to get rid of our distractions. So we think that if I get rid of the list, then my mind will be peaceful enough to chant. But these things will always come. They'll always come up to the surface. Because we haven't had enough faith that if I take shelter in the holy name, first and foremost, at the beginning of the day, then these things they'll come up to me later in the day. And I'll be Krishna conscious and be able to do them in a Krishna conscious way, rather than thinking that I'm doing them and I'm getting them done because they're important, and then I can chant Hare Krishna in a peaceful state of mind, which never comes about. It's lack of faith. Essentially, it's one of the characteristics of lack of faith. We lack that faith that if I fix and exclusively and wholly in Krishna, then the things that I really need to get done won't get done. But actually, Krishna has a way of showing. Prabhupada always gives that example. You take one step to Krishna, Krishna takes 100 steps to you. If Krishna sees that you're willing to make that sacrifice for Him, Krishna will help you to accomplish that which you feel you have to accomplish before you chant Hare Krishna. Because you made that step and said, oh Krishna, I'm going to depend on you. That's all. Because that's another wonderful thing about chanting. Chanting finally gives you when you chant Hare Krishna, it gives you the realization that there's something to listen to besides your mind. Because most people don't know that there's a higher state of consciousness beyond the mind. Most people think that the I have to, I must, that I'm going to do, and all the things that I want to do, all those things that they identify with totally, 24/7, is they think that's them. And when I think I have to do this, they don't know that there is a state of consciousness beyond the mind. Prabhupada says, chanting Hare Krishna is beyond the intelligence, beyond the mind. And it comes from the transcendental platform of the soul. So, when we begin chanting Hare Krishna, we finally have an option. We finally have an option. Before that, there's no option. But now we have an option. We can take shelter of something higher than the mind. And with our intelligence, we can discriminate. The example is given in the Bhagavad Gita that the senses are like horses, the mind is like the reins, the intelligence is like the driver, and the spirit soul is the passenger. And therefore, when the intelligence is strong, holding tightly onto the reins, then the senses are controlled. So the intelligence is higher than the mind. So with our intelligence, we can discriminate between what the mind is dictating and what our spiritual intelligence is telling us to do. No, take shelter of Krishna. Krishna is there, He's situated within the heart. And this is, we read Srila Prabhupada said, we're praying to the Lord in the heart. He says, my dear Krishna, simply while prayer should be, my dear Krishna, please remind me to always chant your holy name. Please do not put me into forgetfulness. You are sitting within me as super soul. So you can put me into forgetfulness or into remembering you. So please do not put me into forgetfulness. Please always remind me to chant. Even if you send me into the hell, it doesn't matter, just so long I can always chant Hare Krishna. So we have an option. Krishna, we're praying to Krishna in our hearts. Who's witnessing? He knows. He knows when we've taken that step to Him. So that's at least a little response I can give to these thoughts that come up. Try to free ourselves from the distractions. If we can, with our intelligence, at least understand it, then when it's not going to put an end to it immediately, for sure. It will come, and it will always come. But Krishna says, by constant practice and detachment, gradually we can learn to conquer the mind. As that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, for one who's conquered the mind, super soul is reached, he attains tranquility. For such a man, heat and cold, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor are all the same. So, the most powerful weapon for conquering the mind is the holy name of the Lord. So we beat our mind. Bhaktisila Bhaktisiddhanta says, in the morning, what's the morning, the shoe, and in the evening is the stick. We wake up in the morning, with a shoe, and in the evening before, he beat it with a stick. Of course, it's not literally, although sometimes I see. I've been in places before where I've seen devotees not take out their shoes, but as long as they don't beat themselves with your beads. So what? Some other thoughts, obstacles? Yes. Thinking about food. I was thinking about water. Because I've been talking for the last 2 hours. And then that one round, I was thinking, wow, I don't know if I'm going to make it through. And I was thinking, it made me immediately think what Prabhupada says. He says that when Krishna is present in his name, and he says, just like water, like if you chant water, 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 it doesn't quench your thirst, because the name water and the substance water. So here I was chanting Krishna, but I was thirsty. And I was realizing Krishna, and then when I realized how thirsty it was, then I immediately took my mind and I said, Krishna, please, help me to realize that you can quench my thirst. Yes, I am the pure, Krishna says, I am the pure taste in water. Some other impediments? Yes, Samila. There's always that famous quote, and I happened to be sitting about 3 weeks ago. I was in Los Angeles, and there was a Japa workshop there. I wasn't really part of it, but I attended a couple of the classes because I happened to be nearby. And this came up. I'm looking for all my quotes. Wait a minute. Give me 1 second. Yeah. It was Malati that asked, she was there. She asked Prabhupada the question. She said something to the effect that, Prabhupada, what should we think of when we're chanting Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada said, think? He said, no, we should simply hear. He said, don't try to artificially think. He said, just simply hear. So Malati said, she personally asked Prabhupada that question. And Prabhupada, that was Prabhupada's answer. But yet, Prabhupada says other things. Well, here he says one thing. He says, chanting japa should be done early in the morning with full concentration, preferably during the Brahma Muhurta time. Concentrate fully on the sound vibration of the mantra, pronouncing each name distinctly, and gradually your speed in chanting will increase naturally. Do not worry so much about chanting fast. Most important is hearing. A devotee should always be grave and silent, which means that he only discusses topics relating to Krishna. Yes, spend your time chanting and reading and taking Krishna prasadam, and automatically your tongue will come under control. If you sincerely engage 24 hours daily in devotional service, according to the instructions of the spiritual master, chant daily 16 rounds, attend the arti ceremony of Lord Krishna, associate with devotees, and adhere strictly to the regular principles, then Krishna will reveal himself personally to you. So Prabhupada says right here, yes, he said, just hear. Do not worry so much about chanting fast. Most important is the hearing. He says it in other places. Actually, I didn't. There's another quote. Prabhupada was in a letter. I don't have it here. Prabhupada was saying, when devotee was asking Srila Prabhupada, is it necessary to think of Krishna's pastimes? No. He says, is it offensive to think of Krishna's pastimes when we're chanting Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada says, something like, no, not only is it not offensive, but it is necessary. So, that is there also. But the way I understood it is that, and Prabhupada in other places said that these pastimes, they'll gradually begin to manifest in a natural way. And it's not that we should try to force ourselves, you know, to think of Krishna's pastimes, especially to try to superimpose ourselves into Krishna's pastimes while chanting Hare Krishna. He says if one learns how to control the mind with a controlled mind, then what happens is that, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example, it's just like the budding of a flower. The budding of a flower is first is the bud, and then it gradually the flower opens and the petals open, and then it gives off a fragrance. And this budding of the flower, he says, it's just like chanting Hare Krishna. First we simply chant Hare Krishna, and then by gradually the nama, then form, rupa, then guna, qualities, and then lila, pastimes. They all gradually begin to unfold. And they will become gradually revealed more and more, the more we fix our consciousness on chanting the holy name of the Lord. But still, as we said, we should pray, and we should have the proper attitude or the proper conception of the holy name of the Lord. And there is nothing wrong prior to beginning our chanting to meditate on Krishna. And there is a particular pastime that, you know, that always comes to my mind. It just comes to my mind, and I think of it a lot from pastime of reading some Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And therefore, before I begin chanting, oftentimes I'll just meditate on this pastime because it's a display of Krishna's mercy. And I know that Krishna is so merciful, and I see how merciful he is to those who are so exclusively dependent upon him. It gives me hope because we're really dependent on mercy. So I meditate on this particular pastime from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita before I begin chanting, and it creates at least a conception within my mind, within my heart, that Krishna is very merciful for the devotee who exclusively depends upon him. And then I pray, please make me exclusively dependent upon you. Help me to overcome. Because I realize that before I can get into that pastime or even understand that pastime or even remember that pastime, I have to become free from all the obstacles that are there along the path. They have to be overcome. And I have to really pray to mercy to Lord Nityananda to enter into the heart and to eradicate all the obstacles along the path so that I can one day hopefully chant, even have hope of chanting Shuddha Nam. And of course there's a whole discussion in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Namabhas and Shuddha Nam, but maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. But the point is that most important, and was confirmed by Malati, is that we should try to hear. Because the tendency of the mind is to always go off onto something else, to think about something else, to remember somebody else, to think about some obligation, to feel some discomfort, and to think about, well, you know, I have this discomfort, how am I going to shift my body and get rid of this discomfort? That's a strong one. that's a real strong one. Especially, you know, when you're sitting down with the aim of just sitting down and chanting your rounds, because it's most effective to chant your rounds nonstop. That's most effective. To sit down and just chant your rounds all the way through, to not, these distractions, we're going to read a little bit about distractions, about the different types of distractions and ways to fight to overcome them. But, anyways. Yes.
Between serving the personal deities and chanting, which is more important? Whatever regular serving you're doing, your personal deities, regular whatever you want to do, you have thought of. Suppose you don't have sufficient time to do that, and between chanting and that.
But our perfection of our service to the deities is in glorifying them. Therefore, all the processes of devotional service. Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami that 9 types of processes of devotional service, all the most important is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And he said that all of them are all dependent upon the chanting of the holy name of the Lord.
Suppose it means if he doesn't have sufficient time to take his service, then we can reduce the service and our chanting should...
We can chant. And Rupa Goswami explains also. He says that in offenses committed to the deity of the Lord, He says, if one commits offenses to the deities of the Lord, then there's no hope for rectification except by the mercy of the Holy Name. Therefore, he says there's a special, although there's no difference between Krishna's name and his form, the Archavigraha, still there's a slight difference. And the slight difference is mercy. The Holy Name is more merciful than the form of Krishna. So therefore, the most merciful manifestation of Krishna is his name. So even if we cannot properly complete our worship of the deity, if we take shelter and glorify the deity by chanting his name, then we could still be given by whatever offenses or incomplete worship of the deities. But chanting is most important. Yes. That's a distraction, is that what you're saying? We have what now? After chanting.
During chanting.
Uh-huh. Well, again, it's just another manifestation of our faith that Krishna will overlook, you know, our inadequacies. We actually have to have that faith. As we said, that the form of the Lord, the holy name of the Lord, is so merciful and so kind that if we're calling out in a helpless state, and really helplessness, and when Prabhupada gives that example of a child crying for his mother, it's such a perfect analogy. You know, the child knows nothing but the parent. So, and when one actually has firm faith in that helpless state, then that gives confidence. That's one of the six requirements for advancing in devotional service, is endeavoring with faith endeavoring with confidence, excuse me. Then one actually has that confidence that if I'm trying to please Krishna, Krishna will overlook my faults. Therefore, Prabhupada says, before we begin chanting Hare Krishna, we should always precede our chanting of Hare Krishna but to chanting of Panchatattva, because they're more merciful and they'll overlook any offenses committed. They'll actually eradicate the offenses committed in the chanting of the Hare Krishna. The same worshipping of the deities. We worship Lord Chaitanya. They'll overlook, they're much more merciful. So we approach first Lord Chaitanya and then approach Radha Krishna. That is our method of even approaching the holy name of the Lord, first by approaching Lord Chaitanya, so that we can overcome our obstacles and offenses that are committed. And then have that confidence and faith that Krishna, he understands my purpose and my intention. That my purpose and intention is that I need his help. I'm helpless without him to be able to chant properly. Then he'll help. But that firm confidence has to be there. While we were chanting that one round, what was something that, you know, yes. Rushing.
Uh-huh.
Well, we just read, Prabhupada said, do not worry so much about chanting fast. Most important is the hearing. So we'll try. Now everybody can chant themselves individually. And, yes?
The other chanting was a little distraction because it was in unison. I had a hard time hearing my own chanting.
Uh-huh.
You know, something.
Because you were hearing others chanting next
to you. Yeah, because me was in unison, so I had a really hard, really just focus on my own chanting.
Uh-huh. So are you presenting that as a
difficulty?
As an obstacle.
Or is it an obstacle?
Well, it's something. It's an impetus to focus more on our own chanting. Or If we can't focus more on our own chanting, we can focus on somebody else's chanting. But focus must be there. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to turn off the microphone. So, oh, it was off. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes.
I was struggling to maintain the prayerful mood through the chanting. I started off following your instruction, but then...
There's a tendency for that. But you don't have to continuously evoke it. As when it's chanting, it's a struggle enough to hear the sound vibration and to hear the holy name. It will come. If we precede our chanting with that prayerful mood, it will come back and we'll remember it during our chanting. And when it comes, then we can again feel that helpless dependence, that cry out, that call for mercy. You know, then we should welcome that. But if it's not there, then just continue to focus on the holy name. It's difficult sometimes. I also have that experience. Is to maintain that feeling of intense prayer, repentance, or you know, helplessness. Of course, helplessness, by way, the struggle in hearing is in itself a state of helplessness. Right? By the mere fact that we're struggling to hear, and we're endeavoring to hear, that's proof that we're helpless. Because if we had the strength to do it on ourselves, you know, then there'd be no difficulty. But because Krishna is in his holy name and he's independent, he also has to agree to appear in his name. We can call out again and again and again, but he has to agree to appear in our minds. He's completely independent. He can do as he wishes. And if we want to remember him and hear him, then we have to show him that is our desire to remember him, and then he helps. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana payupashante tesham nitya biyoktanam yoga kshema vahamyaham. So those who are always endeavoring, meditating on their transcendental form, Krishna says, for them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So if we're lacking the ability to remember, then Krishna will carry that lack. And he'll appear. You will be able to remember. And that's where gratitude comes in. Alright? We feel that sense of gratitude because there's no way I could have been able to remember this or to think this or to get this merciful experience or to feel this reciprocation. There's no way. How could I possibly have done it by my own efforts? I remember, this is a little bit on the same track, but I remember when I was in Mayapur. In the year that Panchatattva was installed, the big Panchatattva deities. And I just remember that when the deities finally, the curtain opened, because it was a big, you know, system, and intense, and hankering to see the Panchatattva. It was such a hankering that everybody was like, and when the curtains opened, you know, everybody was just, and the kirtan just reached such a crescendo. The devotees were chanting and tears, crying, and I was feeling such ecstasy. I couldn't imagine that such ecstasy was accessible. And then I realized, afterwards when I was thinking about it, how could I feel so much pleasure unless Srila Prabhupada was pleased? There's no way. There's nothing that I qualify to feel so much pleasure upon chanting the glories of Panchatattva and upon beholding their beautiful form. What qualification do I have to experience? Somehow, some way, Prabhupada must have been pleased by the effort that the devotees had made. And because Prabhupada is pleased, he's so kindly is giving us this, you know, bhajaniya paramasukha matrasasukhatvam, as explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that we experience pleasure to the degree that Krishna is pleased. And to that pleasure, to that degree, we can get pleasure. Same way, pleasing the spiritual master. When pleasing the spiritual master, we feel some reciprocation. So that all, the point that I'm making is that if we remember Krishna, we realize that, wow, so kind, so, Krishna is so kind, he enabled me to hear. Even for that moment, maybe. It may only be a moment. But it's such a wonderful moment that just like what happened to Narada Muni, when Narada Muni was sitting in the forest and he was meditating upon the Lord within his heart, and the Lord appeared to him and spoke and said, "Oh Narada, I regret that this is the last time you're going to see me in this life." He said, "Because the more that you hanker for me, the more that whatever residual desires are there within your heart will become burnt away, will be destroyed." So sometimes Krishna appears for a fleeting moment. We get some reciprocation, but then he disappears. But it's to awaken within us that hankering. Without hankering, it's very difficult to remain endeavoring on the path. So therefore, Prabhupada even says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, it's very difficult to advance unless one feels reciprocation from Krishna within the heart. Krishna will give us. He'll give us that little, even if it's the smallest. And then it may go away, it may not come again for who knows how long. But it gives us that hankering and gratitude for what we did experience. And therefore, Narada Muni says to Vyasa in the Bhagavatam, he says, "One may forsake his material occupation to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. He may fall down an immature stage, but there's never any danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, even though perfectly engaged in his occupational duties, doesn't gain anything. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna may sometimes fall down somehow or other, he certainly cannot become a fruitive worker again, because anyone who has once relished the taste of Krishna's lotus feet will never be able to forget that ecstasy again and again." That little taste, that little drop. Prabhupada used to say that drop can inundate the whole world. That one little drop. So, even though we may not be able to remember, then if we go on endeavoring, and then when it comes, we feel some gratitude, and then wow, we think, wow, how fortunate I am. I'm so fortunate. Krishna, this is called pushti, tushti, nourishment and satisfaction, right? Bhakti pareshana bhava virakti anyaisha chaisha chika ekakala. Devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from material things. These three things come for a person who's engaged in devotional service. Just as nourishment, relief from hunger, and pleasure come with each bite for a person who's engaged in eating. So when a person is eating, he experiences some nourishment, it tastes good to him, and he sees his hunger is going away. So in the same way, when we're endeavoring to do something to please Krishna, we get some pushti, some nourishment, and some tushti, some satisfaction. And then we can go on, and we can think naturally of Krishna. But that won't come unless we struggle. Endeavor. Prabhupada says right here, last quote, and then we'll chant. Sorry, maybe I'm talking too much. I'm not conforming to the... Prabhupada says right here, "Regarding your last question about the ecstatic symptoms of chanting Hare Krishna, you should know that the Hare Krishna mantra has an equal effect upon all devotees. Just like the sunshine has an equal effect on everyone, but when it is covered, the sunshine has a different effect. Similarly, the influence of the Hare Krishna mantra becomes manifest when one is no longer covered by the 10 offenses to chanting. The more we become free from the 10 offenses, the more the effect of chanting becomes manifested through us. Everyone can become a great devotee, being freed from the offenses 100% simply by one's determination and effort." Wonderful quote. I'll copy these quotes. Everybody should have copy. This is how Sampradaya Acharya is giving us such powerful quotes on chanting. 100% simply by one's determination. So one should not think that it's all dependent upon myself. We should not really think that. Because one will hear this, we merely think, oh, then it's all up to me. Yeah. But it's not. Krishna reciprocates with our 100% determination and effort. The more we surrender, yeyatamam prapajate tang satavya vajamyam, Krishna says, as they surrender, I reward them accordingly. So by our 100% surrender, then we get that reciprocation. And therefore, with that reciprocation, we can enter in to devotional service. But we cannot enter into devotional service unless Krishna very kindly manifests, by the flow of devotional service manifests down from Krishna, from Radharani, and comes down through the Sampradaya and appears before us. We cannot enter into devotional service unless that comes down to us. So we are beggars. We are beggars for that achievement. We're not achievers. Krishna says, Yoginam api sabhesham madgitanantaratmana. Of all yogis who always abides in me in great faith, worship me intimately in devotional service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and he is the highest of all. Krishna says, those who are always abiding in me in great faith, they're the highest yogi. Not with those who think that by my strength, by my determination, I will. No, because Krishna always has the last say. He always has the last say. He always has the final choice. And as soon as we think that by my own effort, then Krishna can choose, forget it, Charlie. You think by your own strength alone? No. So that we get Krishna's mercy. We're looking to get Krishna's mercy. Therefore, we gave the example. Patience. What does the sadhaka want? He wants a result. He wants Krishna's pleasure and Krishna's mercy. That is the result he wants. And he knows he's incapable of obtaining it himself, feeling unqualified. Unqualified. Therefore, he, with 100% determination and conviction, he accepts everything favorable to devotional service, he rejects everything unfavorable. He calls out to Krishna in a helpless state. Then he can be successful. Krishna assures success. All right. So, now we should try to prepare ourselves. We're going to chant some rounds. Individually. And as we said, best if you can sit down. Next best is stand up. And last, but it's still chanting the holy name of the Lord, and I do it, so if you have to pace back and forth, there's room for pacing. We have pacing room over here. Don't pace in front of others who are trying to sit in one place. But we can make some pacing room here. We can move these carpets. Yeah. And that's a chant. And Nitai said 1 hour. That was, I would say let's chant 45 minutes and then we'll chant a bhajan. Okay. And then we'll continue discussing a little bit more. Okay? Alright. We can begin and we'll end at 3:15. And we don't have to pay too much attention to the clock. 3:15 won't come until 45 minutes from now. Huh? 4:15. Yes. 4:15. It's already 3:30. Very good. Hare Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sri Hari Gadadhara Shivasini Gauri Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari 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 Ram, Hari Ram 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 Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari 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 Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari 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 Ram.